Lord, Genesis 1, and we'll start at verse 26 and read to the end of chapter 1. Genesis 1, 26 to the end of the chapter. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the beasts of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Now, for those in cyberspace, I have written a brief essay called "What is Man?" And you can have it free of charge as an attachment to your email. On request. My email address is rbt5@cox.net. Robert Bentley Thompson, the Arabic numeral 5, and cox.net. I'll send you "What is Man?" Now, I said last week, I think, that we have come to a real milestone in God's plan. And somehow we got into the idea about heaven. And I don't want to knock heaven. I'm ready for my own release from probation. But how many are glad they're released from probation? Brother Dow used to say, "How many are glad they're not in jail?" Well, it's kind of the same thing. I know what I want to say. I've got to have liberty to say it. Jesus. I said that God and his plan for the kingdom gave us, of course, Moses and Aaron and the law, gave us Abraham and Sarah, gave us Christ and the apostles and the Holy Spirit. But you see, can you see that these are preparatory? What God is after is man in his image. That's the goal. Man in his image. And you can see here that there is nothing about heaven. So we have to revise our thinking about what God is doing and about what we're supposed to be doing. And what I have to say is extremely practical. It's not theoretical. It's not something I'm pushing. As I said, I'm at my age, I'm ready for release from probation. I want a new body, and I'm tired of dragging this one around. So I'm not knocking heaven. But you see, the idea that man was created to live eternally in heaven is completely mythologic. There's no basis whatever in the Old Testament or the New that man's destiny is to be in heaven. That would accomplish nothing. That would not make him in God's image. And let's see how I'll put it. There is a heaven, of course, where the angels and God are, and it is the throne of God. Heaven is the throne of God, if you think of it that way. We have a mythology about mansions and blah, blah, blah. They have nothing to do with it. They were made up during the interregnum, I guess you'd call it, the period of time from the resurrection of Christ to the present, where God did not show his hand. But today, and when I make a statement that something has changed in the spirit realm, in the plan of redemption, then what do you think your role is? Yes, exactly. You don't say, well, our pastor said, but I don't know what he's talking about. You go to the Lord and say, is this true? Have we come to a change? Not a change, that isn't the word. A further step in the divine redemption. And see what he says. Then you'll know for your certain, you don't have to believe. Someone comes up and makes an outlandish statement, as I have, that this is a step forward after 6,000 years of preparation. It's worthy of your checking it out. Wouldn't you agree with that? Now, this is very, very practical, and I'll tell you why it is. Because you say, where does heaven figure in all of this? Well, when we think of heaven, we're thinking of one area in the land of light. And that area is the heavenly Jerusalem. And it's for the church. It's for the bride of the Lamb. And you can read about it in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. You have come unto Mount Zion. See, and that one day will be on the earth. We need to realize that all of God's work is toward the earth. We want to go to heaven not because we want to escape and go into the spirit realm, because when we do, then the church gets full of nostalgia and boo-hoo-hoo-hoo. So we're ambivalent about that. What we want is a world where there is no death and no trouble and no sin and no problems of any kind. Keep that in mind, because that's what you want. The first thing that we want is our relationships restored and made eternal. I have no use for nostalgia about thinking of the past. My past has been very troubling, as has yours. And I wouldn't go back one day. So when we mourn and weep about the old days, and I wandered today to the hill, Maggie, to see the scenes below, cry, 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 written by a man that had just been engaged for 4 years, married, then lost his wife in a half a year. He was a Canadian, and the man wrote that about Maggie, about his wife, you know. Old people, you know, they think, oh, I wandered today through the hill, Maggie, where we used to be in the good old days. And the sun rose over the cowshed. You know, that's all nonsense. Absolute nonsense. That is not what we want to go back. My father was a drunk, which made our house a continual uproar, and I wouldn't go back to that for anything. So, I mean what I say. I will not look back. I refuse. I'm looking ahead to be reunited with people whom I have known and who predeceased me, and to make new friends and relationships that will last forever. You think I'm going to weep and mourn about the past, which has been nothing but problems? Forget that. I would not go back one day. I wouldn't go back to yesterday. I tell you, I've been over to Palomar Hospital so much, I'm going to get a permanent wristband here so they won't have to keep making new ones. The Hilton on the Hill. I call it the Palomar Hilton. But, you know, so I do a lot of thinking about death and about where I'm going, where Audrey's going, where we're all going. And it is not that we want streets of gold. We want what we have now without the problems. You want to go to something new and strange that you know nothing about? Of course not. You want relationships that don't end. And that's what the gospel is about. Not about a place. It's about us. And you see, that ideal situation where we have wonderful relations. Ask any mother who has lost a young daughter through death and see whether she would rather be reunited with her daughter or walk on a street of gold. And then you'll kind of get the idea. God has let it go, hasn't bothered with it because it wasn't time. It is time now. Now what God wants is not people in heaven. That is so ridiculous. What good does that do? That's where sin began. God is moving his throne into the hearts of his people, his elect, and they will constitute this heavenly Jerusalem that is coming to the earth. And all you want and I want is in the earth. Pardon me if I am. Now, we just read the original divine fiat, didn't we? Did we just read it? All right, underline or bold with a highlighter how many times it says heaven. How many times did God say, let us make man in our image so he can go to heaven? That's where sin began. And there's still a war up there. We're still fighting with principalities and powers in the heavenlies. Satan still has access to God because it says in Revelation, the accuser of our brothers has been cast down. Okay? This is very important and very practical. I'll tell you why. Because I'm going to tell you what the purpose of... I'm going to make a difference between heaven and the spirit world. Heaven is the heavenly Jerusalem, which is in one part of the land of light and is going to come to earth when the priesthood is ready. Okay? Now, what is God doing? Does God want us living in paradise? Of course he does. That's where he created us, was in paradise. Do you realize our mechanical way of life has robbed us of the most precious thing of all, which is family relationships?
Yes.
And when Christ sets up his kingdom, I'll tell you, there'll be no cars, airplanes, there won't even be electricity.
Amen.
There'll be nothing but human relations, people doing whatever tasks they are fitted for so they can give the products of their work to others who need them. There's no money involved at all. And at night everybody gathers around the family and they love each other and they talk about the Lord. That's the way life is supposed to be, like Eden. That's the way God created it. And all they had to do was tend to the garden. That's all God asked them, not to make inventions about this or anything else. Just enjoy God and your fellow creatures. It's a different view, isn't it? No, I keep saying it'll be practical. Here's where it's practical. The spirit world is a place. And as I told you, it's divided into the land of light and the land of darkness. What we call heaven is one place of the land of light, which is the home of the royal priesthood. Now, the reason for the royal priesthood, which is called, everyone is a priest, everyone is holy, everyone is a saint, and in the whole universe, Stan, the entire universe and all history and everything that goes on it is for the perfecting of those people. Say, where's that? Romans 8, verses 27 and 28 and 29. All things work together for good to those who are called according to God's purpose, that they might be conformed to the image of Jesus and be his brothers. And ladies, the new NIV, and the English are very sensitive to gender in the Bible, and they change the verse to read that we might be the brothers and sisters of Christ. And I have no problem with that whatever, because it really gravels me to be called a anybody's bride. And so we have to realize that he does mean brothers and sisters. Well, there's no male or female. Well, no, not in a physical sense there isn't, but there certainly is in the sense, in the true sense of gender, because men and different, in spite of today's teaching, are different. Men and women are different. And God talks to them differently. I asked God one time, talk to me like you do to women, so I can see what is going on. It was all honey this and see, that doesn't wash with me. But you notice how today the accent is on gender, to change the gender, to get like God doesn't know what he's doing. And homosexuality, you see here, he says why God created him. He says, fill the earth and subdue it. How are you going to do that with homosexuals? It's the most selfish way of life there is. Did you hear me? Homosexual behavior, all the people are interested is how sex makes them feel. And there's no love in it. God made men the way they are, miserable creatures, and he made women the way they are, and they're a lot nicer. I'll say that for him. And God knows what he's doing. And if you have a doubt, look in the mirror. And for heaven's sake, don't marry some of the same gender, because you can't fulfill the divine fiat. You cannot replenish the earth. It's dead. It's nothing but a sexual exercise to make the parties feel good. And there's no more. There's no love. It's not love. Love may develop sometime. I mean, we had, when I was in the service, we had real camaraderie. I mean, I had one guy, I still got his name, old Chuck Valterno. We were a chick. I mean, we were so close, and he was Italian from Pittsburgh. Boy, we got around, and then we had another guy, but he was in the brig all the time, so we didn't see too much of him. That was Chuck Swaney, and he was from Ohio. And it wasn't love, it was, I don't know if they had anything between men before this homosexual thing, but there was such a thing as camaraderie.
Yes, sir.
And men would give their lives for one another. And I don't know how that goes on between women, because they're a different kind of cat. I used to think that dogs were male and cats were female. You know, I actually believe that. It was a long time before that I got over that. So anyway, they're different, and women try to be equal to men. Maybe they were born superior, and they're just trying to lower themselves. Well, I'm not into that. What I'm into is that God's purpose is not to take us to a better place. It is to make us a better person. And after The royal priesthood has been, now I can't say perfected because we won't be perfected like entirely in the image of God for maybe a billion years, but we will have a level of maturity that we're not used to. And you say the whole world and everything is all expendable for this precious little group of people. Well, let me tell you what, the way it works. When those people have been brought to enough maturity, they will come and make the earth the way it's supposed to be. And then everybody will be happy. It'll never get that way by osmosis. It's going to get that way when God has some people who can establish it. That's why it says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That's for the world. That's for the world so they can live. You read it in Ezekiel 47, Rebbe. It's all in Ezekiel 47. Okay, it's Rebbe Singer. Okay? And so it's real simple. You're here because God, by his divine wisdom, chose you from the foundation of the earth that he might prepare you to bring and maintain paradise on the earth. Now, right now, today, you are determining where you're going to be in the kingdom. Your role. See, God, when he's finished working with you, he'll put a tag on you, take you into the spirit world or into the New Jerusalem if you're ready for that. And then perfection goes on from there. The spirits of righteous men made perfect. Men and women. Forgive me. All right, now, that's the practicality of it. If you aren't laying aside everything that you might be made in God's image, you're blowing the program. It isn't going to happen when you die. You're going to go to Happy Land. You're going to be where people are like you. That's where it gets very practical. And if you don't want to be with people like you, then do what?
Change.
Because if you'll read your Old Testament, and Rebbe Singer will vouch for this, God does not like mixtures. You couldn't even wear in the same garment, Rebbe. You could not wear wool and linen in the same garment. Now go back and read in Leviticus. God does not like mixtures. He likes everything clean. He does not like gray areas. Gray areas belong to Satan. God likes everything clean, bold, upfront, unmistakable. And he has that with animals. Go back and read in Leviticus. You could not yoke together, we'll say, a horse and a mule. A horse and a donkey. A horse and a donkey. You couldn't, God does not want that. So you see what he wants with people? Let the elect marry from the elect. Man, if you want trouble, go ahead and marry a worldly person. But we choose our own teachers. If you're smart, you'll wait till Mr. Right comes along. And if he doesn't come along, just remember, you're free to get up in the middle of the night and drink your coffee, and you don't have to ask some dumb man if you can do it. There's advantages to being single, and if God wants you to be single, then you'll have joy in that. If he wants you to be married, you'll have joy in that, and you'll also grow like crazy. All right. Now, let me make it clear, as Nixon used to say. Every day that goes by, you're determining where you're going to be when God sets up his kingdom on the earth. You're not going to paradise. Paradise is being created in you because Christ is being created in you, and Christ is paradise. It's not a place that you go to. as something that you will bring into the earth when God is ready. Well, what about heaven? Heaven belongs to the angels, not the human. I read you, we read together in Genesis 1, God's plan from the beginning is to make man in his image, not to take him to paradise, because when he's in God's image, he will bring paradise wherever he goes. So you're being made bread for the nations. And all the uproar that's going on in the Middle East and just about every place, it seems the whole world is in rebellion, and we're being led into rebellion by self-serving people. I won't go into that, but you better watch it. Don't get hatred toward any group or any color or anything. Don't let the race baiters get you. There's good people of every color. I've been reading about the way the Dakota Indians were treated in 1965. I tell you, I got so shook up about the injustice of it. I finally had to pray and get peace. And God said, and this applies to those who are in perversity today in places of leadership, and I don't fret about them, because God said, everyone will stand before me one at a time. I know every detail about every person that's ever lived, and they will answer to me, and they will be treated fairly. Oh, the way those Indians were treated. Oh, boy. And the people trying to stir up racial problems today. What ails them? I know what ails them. They want money and power. That's what ails them. They don't care anything about people of any race. They don't care about them. All they care about is themselves. I see that perversity clearly. And God says, just have peace. They're going to stand before me. Don't worry about it. Everyone will be treated fairly. You say, how could he do it with everybody? Brother and sister, he can do it with a sparrow, much less a human being. All right, now, what are you going to do that's practical? Oh, I had here a couple of thoughts I wrote down that might be a blessing to you. Are you ready? If we follow Christ faithfully, we shall discover to our delight that we are inheriting our Father's character. That may not mean too much to you, but I have, you know the old saying, like father, like son. And that's very true. Our children inherit our characteristics, and it's up to them to get the victory over them. I kid you not. I think of my own father. God bless him, they helped me. During the Depression, you know, in the early 30s, and would pay for piano lessons and when they didn't have the money. So I don't say anything against them, but I have inherited from them certain tendencies that I've had to battle all my life. So just think, if you serve Christ, you will inherit God's characteristics. Inherit them. That's what it says in Galatians 5. Those who sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't say it won't be given to them and they won't enter it. It says they won't inherit it. I want to inherit from God. I love God with all my heart, and I want to be just like him. And I know you do too. It should be, and this is the second one, and not only two of these. It should be our earnest desire that everything that is in us that is not in God's character will be removed from us. If you want to know what they are, ask the Lord. And everything that is in God's character will be created in us. See, that's the new creation. It's in God's image. See, it isn't where you go. It's what you bring with you. And I'm hoping, and if I've heard from the Lord correctly, I will be continuing teaching after I die. There's an awful lot of people that do not know the plan of God. And he's not going to have me sit around walking among the tulips when there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that want to know about God. That's ridiculous. That isn't God's way. He is a businessman. So it isn't where you're going. It's what you're going to bring with you. And if you have nothing to bring, you're going to be put with other people who have nothing to bring, because they were lazy stewards. You see what I mean about being practical? If that isn't practical, I don't know what is. All right. Now, there are three steps necessary if we are to be conformed to the image of Christ, which is the same as being conformed to God's image. And here they are. First, we must be delivered from our sinful nature, because there's no sinful nature in God. Now, that includes worldliness, the lust of the flesh, and self-will. It's got to go if we're going to be in God's image, because that's the way God's image is. Secondly, and Lisa talked about this, we must be filled with the fullness of God. First, Christ must be formed in us. Then, but that's not Christ, that's his nature, formed in us. Then he and the Father come into that which has been formed in us, and then we're filled with all the fullness of God. Tra-la. Oh boy, I want that more than I do peanut butter. All right, third. This is the third thing, and this we're not so well acquainted with. And it's in Romans 8, about verse 23. And if not, I'll get you there, because I'll be close to that. The third thing to be in God's image is we must be raised from the dead and clothed with a body like his. Well, nothing we can... Yes, I was going to say there's nothing we can do about it, but there is. You remember Paul, his whole goal was to attain to the resurrection. And we know that means the resurrection to glory. All right. And Romans 8:23, I was right. Hey, the old guy was right for once. Not only so, and I want you to pay close attention to this, because some of you have never read this in your life. Or if you did, your eyeballs went over it like a pinball machine. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now, what do you think that that's referring to? You have to know the preceding verses. It's talking about the ketesis. Hey, Tony, the ketesis, the creation, is going to be set free with the Spirit of God that comes from those who have the first fruits. That's Ezekiel 47. It's John 7. Out from his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That in Ezekiel 47 it says, and the water will flow out to the Dead Sea of mankind. And Isaiah 12 says, with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. And there and here. And the Holy Spirit only comes from one place. Where is that, Belinda? Absolutely. Good guess. The Holy Spirit only comes from the throne of God. So to have the Holy Spirit come from you means that the throne of God must be in you. And for the throne of God to be in you, you've got to get off the throne for a while. For you notice I said for a while. When God is satisfied that your will is coincidental with his, then you can get back on the throne. Because it's always the sword of the Lord and Gideon. It's always God and man working together. He won't do it alone, and you can't do it alone. But for a season, you've got to get off the throne and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. And stand. That chorus comes from a hymn with two verses, and it's a crackerjack. The words are on Google, several places. That's a very prominent hymn. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. I had to do that recently in the hospital. I had to make a very difficult decision, and I made it, and it worked out well. God was pleased with it. All right, now, but we haven't finished with 8:23. We wait eagerly. Are you there?
Yes.
You hearing me, Benny? There he goes. We wait eagerly for our adoption. What do you think, Vi? Neil? Our adoption as sons of God, daughters also. Thank you. But notice what it is. What is the adoption? The redemption of our body, because God does not consider man or woman a person until they have spirit, soul, and body. And when you die and go into the spirit realm, one of those very important things is missing. So that's why Jesus said, a spirit has not flesh and bone as you see me have. See, a spirit, I'm not a spirit, he said. Get over here and feel of my bones. Spirit has not flesh and bone as you see me have. Isn't that marvelous? The resurrection died and went into the cave of Joseph of Arimathea, and from then down into the darkness of Satan's domain. And the Spirit of God is just like Jonah. The Spirit of God and touched him. And when he came up into the cave of Joseph of Arimathea. You know what happened? The resurrection was resurrected. Because he said, I am the resurrection. And the resurrection, who Jesus is, the resurrection and eternal life, was resurrected. And the napkin was laid aside because he's very neat. That's why he says, gather up the fragments. So everything went, but my friends, his body was not left in the cave. How's that, Rebbe? His body was not left there. But he's the firstborn from the dead. What does it tell us about us? The Ark of the Covenant, which is a symbol of Christ's head and body. What was it made of?
Golden wood.
Acacia wood and pure gold. What does gold stand for? Divinity. What does wood stand for? Humanity. And Jesus is Son of God and Son of Man, and so are we. So in the resurrection, our body will not be left in the ground. But will it be the same body? Yes and no. Yes and no. Your flesh and bones. But I make all things new. Not all new things. Same stuff we've been used to. But made new in Christ. And glorious. A new creation. And the flesh and bones are there. You'll never lose your uniqueness as a person. What you will lose is your ability to be independent of Christ and God. And they can never be independent of you. Think of that. Because we're being made one in Christ, in God. And we've been given the divine nature. As it said in 2 Peter, we recoil at the idea of becoming part of God. We recoil at that. But Peter says, you're partakers of the divine nature that you might be set free from lust. So what are we going to do about figuring if we're made part of God that it's blasphemy. What are we going to do about it? Like that Israeli tank commander said, no, it was the guy from Indonesia, said, get over with it. If it bothers you about being part of God, get over with it. Because John 17, 21 through 23 says that unmistakably, that they might be one as we are one, that they might be one in us. And we say, but we're still Adam. We're still animals. No, through Christ, the lineage from Adam was destroyed. We're set free from Adam. Hallelujah. Set free from everything that is animal and made a part of the living God. That's what Christ came to do, to enlarge the presence of God. Flesh and blood, which is a generic name for or humanity, or the lineage of Adam, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. How can you join that which is animal with that which is divine? You can't. We have to become genuine brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to John 1:13, it says, who were born not of flesh nor the will of man, but of God. And I know that you will agree with me that what is born of God is God. I don't say we're becoming the Father. We're not. We never lose our uniqueness, nor does God, nor does Christ. They remain, Christ remains Christ. He's not the same as God. He is one with God, but not the, he is not the Father. Oh, dear Lord, how can people picture Christ as the Father? It makes the New Testament very confusing. And we will never be Jesus Christ, but we are being made an integral part of him. Are we or are we not the body of Christ? Well, now take yourself. How about your head and your body? Is your head one thing and your body another? I don't know, Brother Thompson. I never heard that. Get over with it, because it is what the Word says. And what the Word says is right. And if you want to stumble at it, you can stumble at it. But there's no need. John 17, 21 through 23 is as clear as anything can possibly be. Now, why are we being made in the image of God? And I don't have much time. Bill will be getting after me in a minute. And I'll tell you the first thing. What I'm talking about now is why. I told you how to be in the image of God. How? What did I say? I gave you three steps. What were they? You've got to get rid of all of the sinful nature. All right. What else?
Deal with the fullness of God.
You got to, who's saying that back there?
Marla.
Bless you, Marla. You just got a high grade that time. Fill with all the fullness of God. And what was the last one?
Christ. Be raised from the dead and clothed with the body of Christ.
Yes, we have to have our body redeemed, which means that it's filled with the life of God. That's Romans 8:11. It says the mortal body, if the Spirit dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead, Romans 8:11. Will also make alive your mortal body by his Spirit who dwells in you. And that's why two verses later it says, if we live after the flesh, we will die. And I'll tell you what that means. That means that as we live in the flesh, the Spirit that we had to begin with is withdrawn from us. And the body cannot be redeemed. There's a dreadful future for those who continue to play around with their sinful nature. They assume that God is the loving grandfather that humanism teaches. God is not a loving grandfather. I told you, he sent Moses back to Egypt with his wife, Zipporah, and a little boy. And Moses was going back to face Pharaoh, and on the way, God tried to kill him. Now, does that sound like a loving grandfather? No, he's a great spirit that we don't have the faintest of what he is like. We don't even have the faintest what Christ is like, let alone the Father. Zipporah says, you're a bloody husband. Let me tell you something, because she had to circumcise her son before God would quit trying to kill Moses. Every man of God is a bloody husband because God is always trying to kill him. Just remember that. If he's a real man of God and he's been sent by the Lord, God will try to kill him. And that's why it says in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, Paul says, I'm always being put to death. God is not like we picture him. And what I have told you this morning is the word of God, that God created you not to go someplace, but to be in his image. And that's firm. And I've also told you how to get there by following the Holy Spirit as he's ready to cast out sin and self-will, and by being filled with the fullness of God, which is in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, and finally, by having your body redeemed. Those three things have to be true of you and me before we are in the image of God. And that's God's purpose in creating us. And I love 1 John 1:3. How many know that verse? 1 John 1:3. It gives you the first reason God created. And then I've got 17 more, which we'll never get to. But that's the first. What does it say?
Huh? We have fellowship with the Father.
We have fellowship. God created us for fellowship. And we can't have fellowship with him if we're in the lineage of Adam. Adam didn't last long at all. I can't elaborate these others, but I'll just read to them. You heard them before about 8 years ago, and I haven't elaborated them since. The first reason that God created us is to be in his image. We covered that. To govern all the works of his hands. He created us to be a member of the bride of the Lamb. You know, Jesus is kind of interested in his bride. Did you know that? Did you know that? Reminds me of Jacob out there in the Negev, waiting for his bride. Just looking in the Negev, looking at the horizon, looking at the setting of the sun. And here comes Rebecca on the camel with Eliezer of Damascus. And she says to Eliezer, who's the man standing out there? And he said, it's the son of Abraham. Oh, no, it's Isaac, wasn't it? Isaac, not Jacob, it was Isaac, the son of Abraham. And she covered herself and got down from her camel. What a story. Don't you think that Christ loves his bride 1,000 more times than any man ever did? If you think he isn't interested in you, he is. Just picture in your mind standing in the desert, in the Negev, looking at the setting of the sun. What do you think he was thinking about? He'd never seen her, you know. Wonder what she'll look like. Wonder will she be like Sarah? wonder, will she be tall or short? Or will we get along? Will she be a good wife, a good mother? He's thinking, don't think that he was thinking about the camels. He was thinking about Rebecca. And that's the way he is today. Look how long he's waited and watched the various denominations come and go. He said, maybe that's the one, Father. No, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Now the Father is saying, get down off your camel and cover yourself and get prepared. Shall we stand? How many know that chorus, let go and let God have his wonderful way? I looked it up in Google. You know, I have never looked up on Google anything that wasn't there. I did that. This only can go be there. Why, there must be 100 entries. And all the words are there. And the words of the verse, two verses are marvelous instruction. It was somebody that was just scared to death and worried to death that something was going to happen. And they wrote about that in the verses. And then in the chorus, it says, let go and let God. I had to apply that a couple of days ago. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have his way. Isn't that wonderful? Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have his way. Now I'm going to bump it up about two whole tones. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. D major. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have his way. Yeah, that's it's about A. Yeah, that worked well in A. A or A flat, it'd be all right. All right, as we're going here, does anybody need to come? I haven't even prayed. Lord, the word that you gave me for today is very meaningful to me, Lord, and I know it's from you. It's Bible. But it is radical in the sense that we're not used to it, Lord. And we wonder, will I ever really be a part of God? And you look down with us with such love, and you say, you are my children, my offspring, born from my very nature. Don't linger any longer in the world of Adam. That was only temporary. Now I'm calling you to be part of my family, the great family of God, that you can love me and call me your daddy, your father, your papa, whatever. But be close to me and draw close to me. Truly I am the consuming fire of Israel. But I have a great love for you, and you can enter through the Holy of Holies. The veil has been rent, and you can come before my very throne. And it's my love that calls you, not religion or anything of the kind, but my love. I am your Father. I am your Creator. I am He who gave you birth. You are children of man, and now you're children of God. And you have two roles to play. One, to be close to your Father. And the other, to go out into the creation. Even the angels will be your servants as I direct them, because you are my children. And no angel has ever been called my son or my daughter. Never. You are new. It is a new creation. It is the beginning of eternity. Take advantage of the time you have. You are so few in number that are hearing the Spirit today, but take full advantage of it, because Christ will come in the middle of the night. He will come when the nations think that they have peace and safety. He will come, and He will call you to Himself, and He will give you a new body, and He will bring you up to where your commander-in-chief, your Lord, your bridegroom is waiting, as Isaac waited. And now he says, "My Father, I see that the others, the denominations, were not what you had in mind. She is beautiful, beautiful, the dance of a double camp. She is marvelous in warfare and marvelous in beauty. And the Song of Solomon tells about her. And thank you, Father, thank you so much for presenting me with a counterpart, with someone I can look at and see myself. You only do wondrous things, my Father. And I created all these people, and yet I had to die to possess them. How wonderful are your ways, O God. And all the ways of lies are wrong and darkness. But you alone are the truth. And your Son, Jesus, is the faithful one. And we are being made faithful and truthful. Now, Father, I beseech you, make us exactly like yourself. Remove everything of Adam. Fill us with the fullness of God. And help us, Lord, to press forward until we're able to have this body redeemed and then caught up to the great white war stallions, so we can return and begin the restoration of the earth. Oh, help us, Lord. We love you this morning, and we want to do all your will and come short of nothing. The things of the earth grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. I pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Now, if you want to come to the altar, and come. Don't rush out if you have a need. That's stupid. Let's sing that chorus once more. Let go and let God as we're going out. Shall we do that as we're going out? Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. God bless you. Take the presence of God with you.